Nightshade's boots crunched on dead leaves as he worked his way through the woods. Since he knew the area inside and out now, he no longer needed to refer to his hand-drawn map. He no longer needed to refer to the marks, the symbols, and numbers he'd made on that map either. He should probably burn it since it was evidence. It was always best not to keep shit like that around. Which was why he was dragging tonight's catch behind him down the mountain instead of leaving it behind. He didn't care that it made more noise than his footsteps. Tonight, he hadn't needed to go all the way up to the main clearing. Instead, he stumbled upon a guard close to the bottom. The Shirley clan had set up a few since the last time the Blood Fury went up Hillbilly Hill to bring home one of their own. The first time, last November, it had been to retrieve a pregnant Autumn, aka Red, Sig's old lady. Then last week, they all went up again to take back more stolen Fury property. The Hillbilly Inbreds had knocked Gemma out and taken Cage's baby girl, Dinah. Then had the balls, or the lack of brains, to use her as a tool for an ambush. The Fury wasn't playing anymore. They had warned the Guardians of Freedom, a sovereign nation otherwise known as the Shirley Clan, not to fuck with them after the first time. They dared to fuck with them again. Now the Fury was fucking them up the ass without any lube, not even with a little bit of spit. They were doing it quietly, carefully, slowly. While Judge, the Sergeant-at-Arms, along with their prez, Trip, were in charge of this undertaking, Shade was the main player. He asked them. They agreed. Shade had nothing to lose. Nothing at all. Not like some of his brothers who had families, like Cage and Judge, or old ladies like Trip, Sig, and Deacon, or siblings, like most of the rest. Shade had no one. If he fucked up and something happened to him, it would be no loss. No one would mourn, except maybe his brothers. And anyway, out of all of his club brothers, he was an expert with knives, a quiet, efficient way to cull the herd of hillbilly goat fuckers. While the rest knew how to handle guns, Shade did not. He stuck with what was familiar, what felt natural in his hand, what he'd used in the past to keep himself breathing, what he'd also used when he was too tired to breathe anymore. But that was only one time during a moment of weakness. He'd been stolen once. He decided he wouldn't let those people steal him again by forcing his hand to do something drastic. So he didn't let them, just like he wouldn't let the Shirleys get away with stealing women or children, or injuring his brothers like they had with Ozzy and Dodge. Thank fuck both of them got off easy. Unlike the Shirleys. He glanced at the man behind him, who was now dirtier from being dragged through the undergrowth of the forest than when he'd been standing on 2 feet. The fucker had been holding an AR-15 and casually smoking when Shade came upon him. He'd also been taking a lot of nips at a flask tucked in his dirty cargo pants. It was the smoke that gave him away while the moonshine made the man numb and dumb. Dumber than normal. He was Shade's perfect target. Snagging the man wouldn't raise the alarm. They were too far from the compound. It had been way too easy. Shade stood hidden to the left of the man and threw a rock to the right. Easy distraction. The Shirley was too stupid to realize it. As the hillbilly turned to look toward the noise, Shade snuck up and made a clean slice under the man's thick beard before he even knew what was happening. Standing behind the fucker until Shade was sure the job was done, he couldn't see the man's face, but he was sure it was full of surprise since he dropped the hand-rolled and the AR-15. Then the Shirley slowly collapsed to his knees, his own hand trying to stem the flow of blood rushing from the ear-to-ear slice. Not that anything could stop it. Fuck no, it was too late. Once his target's heart stopped and his lungs went still, Shade slung the semi-automatic rifle over his back using the strap to secure it there. He grabbed both ankles and began to hoof it down the short distance to Copperhead Road, where he'd left the van. Black, windowless. Just like the one when he was 4.